after the ball at Netherfield, found a somewhat subdued atmosphere among the young ladies of Longbourn, together with a tendency to gaze at length out of the window and not to be aware when spoken to. Not so Mr. Collins. On finding Mrs. Bennet with Kitty and Elizabeth in the sitting room after breakfast.
Ah, come in, sir, come in. Kitty, make room for your cousin Collins.
No, I shall not sit down, thank you, Mrs. Bennet. May I hope for your interest with your fair daughter Elizabeth if I solicit for the honour of a private interview with her this morning?
Oh, with me, sir? Oh, yes, sir. Of course, most certainly.
Do I make my meaning clear, madam?
Yes. Yes, I think so, sir. I'm sure Lizzie will be most delighted. Won't you, Lizzie?
But Mama...
Come up, Kitty, dear. I wish to speak to you a moment. Upstairs.
Oh, Mama, I was just going to start my embroidery. Oh,
please, Mama, don't go. I'm sure Mr. Collins can have nothing to say that you can't all hear.
Oh, nonsense, my love. Kitty, come along when I tell you, miss. At once.
Oh, but Mama, you know you said I could. What? Oh, I see.
But Mama, oh, please.
Believe me, my dear cousin, your modesty, far from doing you a disservice, rather adds to your other perfection.
Mr. Collins, I really
You can
think...
hardly doubt the purpose of my discourse, I'm sure. My attentions have been too marked to be mistaken. Miss Elizabeth... Almost as soon as I entered this house, I singled you out as the companion for my future life.
But, Mr. Collins, if
one
I
moment,
may be...
One moment, as I was about to say. Perhaps it would be as well, before my feelings ran away with me, to state my reasons for coming here as I did with the design of selecting a wife. They are many, and not least because the noble lady whom I have the honour to call my patroness has several times given it as her opinion, unasked, that I should do so. Mr. Collins, she said, only a few days before I left, between our pools of quadrille, Mr. Collins, you must marry, she said. Choose a gentlewoman, but let her be an active, useful sort of person. Not brought up high and able to make a small income go a long way. That is my advice. Find such a woman, bring her to Hunsford as soon as you can, and I will visit her. That's what she said, Miss Elizabeth. Those were her very words.
I don't doubt it,
Well,
sir.
Now nothing remains for me but to assure you of the violence of my affection. To fortune, I am perfectly indifferent, naturally, or I should have sought elsewhere, and I shall make no demands to your father on that score, as I'm well aware that it would be no good. And that £1,000 in the 4%, which will not be yours till after your parents' decease, is all that you're entitled to. On that head, I will say nothing, and you may rest assured that I shall continue to do so even after we are married.
Mr. Collins, forgive me, but I really must speak.
Please do, Miss Elizabeth. I only wish you would.
You are much too hasty, sir. You seem to forget that I have not yet given you an answer. Let me do so at once. Please accept my thanks for the compliment you are paying me, but I am afraid I must decline.
You decline?
Yes, sir, I decline. I'm sorry, but it is as well to speak plainly.
Oh, well, I'm told it's quite usual with young ladies to refuse the first proposal from a man they really intend to accept. I am by no means discouraged, cousin.
Upon my word, sir, I am not one of those ladies who were so daring as to risk their future happiness on the chance of being asked a second time. I am perfectly serious in my refusal, I can assure you.
Oh, well, let us not press the point for the moment, shall we? I shall, of course, speak again on another occasion. Oh,
be sure that I wish you both very happy and very rich. And by refusing your hand, do all in my power to prevent your being otherwise. In making me this offer, I hope you will have satisfied your conscience in the matter of the estate. You should certainly feel yourself free to inherit Longbourn without any self-reproach. And now, if you would excuse me...
Wait. I'm far from accusing you of wishing to be cruel, cousin, because I know it to be the established custom of your sex to behave as you are doing. And perhaps, in a way, I may assume you to have said enough to encourage me, as is consistent with true female delicacy. Is that not so?
Really, Mr. Collins, you puzzle me exceedingly. If what I have said appears to you to be encouragement, then I scarcely know how to express the reverse.
My reasons for thinking so are briefly these. My situation in life and connection with the family of de Burgh, not to mention the matter of the estate, must surely be in my favor, and you must realize that in spite of your manifold attractions, it is by no means certain that you will ever receive another offer.
Mr. Collins!
Your portion is unfortunately so small that it must in all likelihood undo the effect of your loveliness and other amiable qualifications. So I must conclude you are not serious in your rejection, and are just hoping that suspense will increase my love, as is the usual habit of elegant females.
I assure you, sir, that I have no pretensions whatever to that kind of elegance. I thank you for the honor you have done me, but the reason why I cannot accept is that my feelings in every respect forbid it. Can I speak plainer?
You are always so charming. And I'm sure that once I've consulted with your parents, the matter can be satisfactorily resolved. Good morning to you, cousin. I will not disturb your peace any longer.
But, Mr. Collins, it is not the slightest good. Oh, dear. Depend upon it, Mr. Collins, Lizzie shall be brought to reason. She is a very headstrong, foolish girl and does not know her own interests.
Oh, you think so, madam?
I know it. But I will speak to her, never you worry. Oh, I will speak to her, Mr. Collins.
But, madam, if she is really so headstrong and foolish as you say, I hardly think she would be quite a desirable partner for a man in my position.
Oh, but you quite misunderstand me, sir. Lizzie is only headstrong in matters such as these.
I certainly hope so, madam.
Oh, in everything else she is as good-natured a girl as ever lived, I do assure you. But I'll go at once to Mr. Bennet and tell him what you say. He will settle it with her, I am sure. Excuse me. Mr. Bennet? Mr. Bennet? Where are you? Mr. Bennet? Oh, Mr. Bennet, you must come at once. We are all in quite an uproar.
Surely, my love, that's nothing remarkable.
You must come and make Lizzie marry Mr. Collins, for she vows she will not have him. And if you don't hurry, he may change his mind.
My love, I haven't a notion of what you're talking about.
Oh, Mr. Bennet, Lizzie and Mr. Collins. She declares she will not have him, and now he begins to say he will not have her.
Then they both seem agreed. What am I to do about it?
Do, sir? Well, speak to Lizzie yourself. Tell her you insist on her marrying him.
Oh, very well. I suppose I'd better give her my opinion on the matter. Let her be called down.
You wish to speak to me, Papa?
Yes, miss, he does, and I'm not surprised either.
Come here, my child.
Papa?
I have sent for you on a matter of some importance, my dear. I understand that Mr. Collins has just made you an offer of marriage. Is this true?
It is.
And this offer you have refused?
I have.
Very well. We now come to the point. Your mother insists upon your accepting it. Is that not so, my dear?
It is. Or I will have nothing more to do with her. Nothing.
So, an unhappy alternative is before you, Elizabeth, my dear. From this day, it seems, you must be a stranger to one of your parents, because your mother will never see you again if you do not marry Mr. Collins, while I will never see you again if you do.
What do you mean, sir? What is this you said just now? You would make her just this moment you said it.
My dear, I said nothing of the sort.
Mr. Bennet, how can you sit there and deny it?
I have just two small favors to ask of you, my love. One is that you will allow me to know my own feelings on the matter, and the other is that I may be permitted to go on reading my newspaper in peace.
Charlotte, I'm so glad you've come. Such excitement here.
Excitement, Lydia? Why, what has happened?
Mr. Collins has made an offer to Lizzie and she won't have him. Mother is to be furious.
Mr. Collins has spoken for Lizzie?
That's right. Just now, after breakfast. Do you like my new kerchief? Everybody is in the morning room. Mr. Wickham says I ought always to wear strong colours.
Mama, here is Charlotte come to join us. I've already told her about Lizzie.
Oh, Charlotte, dear. Perhaps you can put some sense into her head, because I fear I cannot.
But I knew nothing of this, Mrs. Bennet, till this very moment.
I have done my best, but she will not listen. I tell her if she goes on refusing every offer of marriage like this, she will never get a husband at all. And then I don't know what will happen, because there will be nobody to look after any of us once her father is dead. I've told her all this not once, but 100 times. She takes no notice.
Once her mind is made up, Mrs. Bennet, you know what Lizzie is.
Charlotte, my dear, do I not? But I told her just now, I shall not speak to you again, miss, if you continue like this. And I shall not either. Because I can tell you, Charlotte, my dear, I have no pleasure in speaking at all when my nerves are upset in this way.
No, Mrs. Bennet?
People who suffer from nervous disorders, as I do, want only a little peace and quiet in their lives. But there, of course, I say nothing, and it is ever so. Those who do not complain are never pitied.
Oh, do I intrude, madam?
Mr. Collins.
Oh, forgive me, Mrs. Bennet. I can come back another time.
Oh, Miss Lucas, how generous of you. I shall not be more than a moment.
Lydia, dear, just take Charlotte into the garden, will you?
Must I? Oh, very well. Come then, Charlotte. Did I ever show you the valentine I had from Captain Carter?
No, I don't think you did.
Oh, Mr. Collins, what can I say? There, I am quite speechless.
Madam, if you are speechless, then so am I. So let us be forever silent upon the whole matter.
But she shall not be allowed to behave so, Mr. Collins. She shall not.
I have been giving the matter much thought, madam, since our last words together. And I have come to the conclusion that resignation is the proper attitude for one in my position at the moment.
Oh, no,
I have often observed that resignation is never so perfect as when the blessing denied begins to lose some of its previous value in our eyes.
But, Mr. Collins,
you will not, I hope, consider me as showing any disrespect to your family, madam, by withdrawing my pretensions to your daughter's favor. I have certainly meant well in the whole affair. Now, if you will forgive me, madam, I'll go and join the young lady.
Oh, Mr. Collins, if you'll allow me to call Mr. Bennet.
Easy, ma'am.
Oh!
My dear Miss Lucas, are you wise to stand in the direct sunlight of your very delicate confession?
The morrow brought no abatement of Mrs. Bennet's ill humor and ill health, while Mr. Collins merely expressed himself in stiffness of manner and resentful silence. But Elizabeth's thoughts were soon directed elsewhere when, in the middle of the morning, Jane received a letter. She watched her sister read it, changed colour a little, then, making an excuse, leave the room, motioning Elizabeth to follow her.
Jane, what is it?
Caroline Bingley. The whole party are to leave Netherfield at once.
What?
In fact, they've probably done so by now.
But why?
And apparently they have no intention of coming back. Oh, but leave it for yourself.
I do not pretend to regret anything I shall leave behind in Hertfordshire, but your society, my dearest friend, and hope we may continue our happy intercourse by frequent correspondence. I depend upon you for that.
Does she indeed? But she still doesn't say why.
Read on, the next paragraph.
When my brother left us yesterday, he imagined that the business which took him to London would be concluded in a few days. But we're certain that it cannot, and I'm equally certain that once Charles gets to London, he will not wish to leave it again. Many of my friends are already there for the winter, and I only wish that you, sweet Jane, might be one of them, but of that I despair. So I must content myself with wishing that your Christmas in Hertfordshire may abound in gaieties, and that your beaux will be so numerous as to prevent your noticing the loss of our party.
So, it seems quite clear from this that he will not be coming back this winter.
It seems clear that she does not intend him to.
But it must be his own doing, Lizzie. After all, he is his own master.
She may allow him to think it, but we know it is not really so.
That is not all. You have not yet come to the most hurtful part.
The further reason is that the delightful Miss Darcy is to be in London, and, as you know, I hold her in the highest esteem, as, of course, does my brother. So much so, in fact, that I dare to hope that one day I may call her my sister. I do not know whether I ever mentioned this to you before.
There. So you see how it is.
Wretched girl. I see how she would like it to be.
My brother admires her greatly already, and he will have frequent opportunities of meeting her on the most intimate footing, as her relations all wish the connection. A sister's partiality is not misleading me, I believe, when I say that Charles is capable of engaging any woman's heart. So am I wrong, my dearest Jane, in hoping for an event which must bring happiness to so many? Your affectionate friend, etc., etc.
There. What do you say of that last part, Lizzie?
If you wish for the truth, I can scarcely trust myself to express my feelings.
Is it not clear that Caroline neither expects nor wishes me to be her sister, and that she knows of her brother's indifference to me, and so wishes kindly to put me on my guard against disappointment? Can there be any other way of reading it?
Yes, there can. Mine is totally different, and you shall have it in a few words.
What then?
Simply this. Miss Bingley sees that her brother is in love with you, but wants him to marry Miss Darcy. So she follows him to town in the hope of keeping him there and tries to persuade you that he doesn't care about you. There, that is my opinion.
Oh, I wish I could believe you.
My dear Jane, nobody who's seen you together could possibly doubt his feeling towards you. Least of all Caroline Bingley. She's no simpleton.
Dear Lizzie.
If she could have seen half as much affection for herself in Mr. Darcy, she would have ordered her own wedding dress long ago, I'm sure.
Oh, Lizzie.
But the plain truth is, we are not rich enough nor grand enough for her. Besides, she is anxious to get Miss Darcy for her brother from the notion that where there has been one marriage between the families, there might as well be two. Oh, she is certainly no simpleton, believe me.
Jane! Lizzie, where are you?
Oh, one moment. Yes, Mama?
Oh, so there you are. I've been calling you this 5 minutes, I should think.
I'm very sorry, Mama. We didn't hear you, did we, Lizzie?
No, please come down at once, both of you. It looks so rude. And on Mr. Collins's last evening, too.
But I did not know he had come in, Mama. After all, we've seen practically nothing of him at all these last few days.
And whose fault is that, Miss? Oh, well, if we're all turned out of house and home the moment your father dies, don't blame me. Sure, I don't know what I've done to deserve such a girl.
The company in the drawing-room that evening were more than usually prone to long and awkward silences. Mr. Bennet, pressed into joining them against his inclination, sat sunk in meditation in his armchair by the fire, while Kitty and Lydia, on the sofa, scarcely scrupled to suppress their yawns.
Well, now, Mr. Collins, how would you care to spend your last evening? I'm sure we're all prepared to entertain you in any way that we can, are we not, girls?
Oh, yes, Mama.
No, of course.
My dear, perhaps Mr. Collins might be prevailed upon to entertain us this time. Would you care to read to us, cousin?
Oh, no.
Lydia.
I thank you, sir, for the suggestion, but I fear that I must decline.
Oh, indeed.
Thank Lydia.
I have to make a very early start tomorrow, so I think I should not exert myself this evening.
Perhaps you're wise.
In fact, I think perhaps I shall wish all my fair cousins goodbye tonight, as I fear I may not have the pleasure of seeing them before I go tomorrow.
Oh, well, goodbye then, Mr. Collins.
Oh, but you shall not go off alone like that, sir. Lydia will see you off, will you not, dear?
Me, Mama? But you know I'm always the last to wake up.
Oh, no. I would not hear of disturbing any of the young ladies. Oh, no, never.
Oh, well, then, if you wish, sir. But perhaps we may see you back again one day, if you're ever travelling in this direction. You know where you may find us. While Mr. Bennet still lives, that is.
My dear madam, this invitation is what I have been most hoping for. You may depend upon me to avail myself of it as soon as possible. Thank you.
Mama!
But is there not a risk of incurring Lady Catherine's displeasure, sir, if you were to come away again so soon?
My dear sir, I'm particularly obliged to you for this friendly warning. You may depend upon it, I shall not come without first obtaining her full agreement.
You are very wise, sir, very wise indeed. If you find it in the least likely to raise any displeasure, and it might well, then rest assured that we shall take no offence.
Oh, no.
No, indeed.
Thank you, sir, but I have reason to believe it would not. No.
No, sir?
Certain circumstances that I'm not at the moment free to divulge lead me to think otherwise. Now, if you will forgive me, I shall retire. You shall soon receive from me a very full letter of thanks for your great kindness. And as for my fair cousins, though my absence may not be long enough to render it necessary, I take the liberty of wishing them all health and happiness, not even excluding my cousin Elizabeth. Good night, ma'am, ladies, cousin Bennet, a good night.
Next morning, the family at Longbourn had scarcely time to remark the departure of one visitor before they received another, more welcome one.
Charlotte, how very delightful. But what brings you so early?
Oh, Lizzie, how glad I am it is you. May we talk somewhere undisturbed?
No one will come in here.
Oh.
Why, what is the matter?
Lizzie, you and I have always been quite free with one another.
Mm-hmm.
That is why I must speak to you at once, though what I have to say may, I'm afraid, cause you pain.
Charlotte, you do alarm me. Please come to the point.
Well, then, Mr. Collins and I are engaged to be married. There. Now you may say what you wish.
You? Engaged to Mr. Collins? My dear Charlotte, it is not possible.
Why should you be so amazed, Lizzie?
Oh, but really?
Do you find it so surprising that Mr. Collins should win any woman's good opinion because he failed to win yours?
Oh, no, indeed, no, not at all. I am most happy for you, Charlotte. Truly, I am.
I know you must be a little surprised at his asking me so soon after wishing to marry you, but...
Oh, well, I don't know.
But as I've often told you, Lizzie, I'm no romantic. I never was. No, I only ask a comfortable home. And considering Mr. Collins' character and situation, I consider my chances of happiness with him are as fair as most people's when about to get married. Well, do not you?
Oh, yes, yes, undoubtedly. Oh, Charlotte, I must tell Mama, if you don't mind. She will be most... it is best that she should know at once, I feel.
So, Charlotte Lucas, of all people, is to be the mistress of Longbourn, while your poor sisters and I are turned out into the gutter, is that it? Yes, miss, you may well hang your head. I'm not surprised. Oh, well, I shall not ask Lady Lucas to my soiree next Saturday. Indeed, I shall not. I could not bear her looks of triumph and her patronizing manner. Oh, Charlotte Lucas, a married woman, while my poor dear Jane is treated so shabbily. Oh, really, is there no justice left in the world?
Oh, that dear Mama had more command of herself. She cannot know what pain she gives. But I will not repine. He will soon be forgot. There. Oh, I cannot even bring myself to say his name.
Poor Jane.
I have nothing more, either to hope or fear, and nothing to reproach him with. He may live on in my memory as the most amiable man it has been my good fortune to meet, and that is all. A little time and I shall be quite better again. I must be, for it is sheer foolishness to feel as I do. Oh, so please, Lizzie, do not encourage me by speaking of him.